This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance.
Wow. I haven't heard applause that loud since I decided not to audition for America's Got Talent. I promise you that there won't be any math, but I'd like to give you some numbers. 1, 2, 5, and 10. 1, Bernard Langer's position when the first ever official world golf rankings were revealed. 2, the number of times he slipped on the green jacket in Butler Cabin. 5, as in the big 5 group of players who revolutionized European golf. And 10, that's the number of Ryder Cups in which Bernard has played. Add them all up and you get an amazing Hall of Fame career. But if all you see are the numbers, then you miss the man who made them all happen.
Bernard has the reputation as the no-frills stoic German. But the first indication that there might be more to him than that was apparent the moment he opened the door.
Herzlich willkommen, mein alter Ratschkattelfreund. Please step on in.
Danke.
Come on in. I made you your special drink. Cheers.
Cheers.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Pleasure.
What a welcome.
Prost.
Bernard, first of all, thank you and Vicky for having us here in your beautiful home in Boca Raton. How long have you been here?
It's our pleasure to have you, David. We've been here 35 years in Boca and 25 years in this house.
Well, like most golf stories, yours starts with a train full of prisoners of war heading for Siberia.
Yeah, a little unusual. My dad was a POW, got captured on the way to Siberia. He jumped off the train with a few others. They were shot at. About 2 weeks later, the war was over. And he made his way west to Anhausen, where he then met my mother, and they got married. And you know, he's a bricklayer by trade. He built his own house, the one I was born into, with his own hands. He couldn't afford it any other way, and that's the way it was in the old days.
Well, I think he would have loved this one.
He absolutely would have.
Yeah. He also would have loved the trophies. Bernard's won so many, they now line the floor.
Langer, German Masters champion for the third time.
He's second only to Seve for all-time European Tour wins with 42. And he helped transform the Ryder Cup, playing in 10 of them.
Captain Langer, congratulations.
And captaining another. He's won not one, but 2 green jackets at Augusta. And has turned the PGA Tour champions into his own personal sandbox.
I love holding this trophy. It's a beautiful one.
Our picture with the winner.
Now, come on, here's the winner,
Here's the winner.
Along the way, he's won 5 Charles Schwab Cups.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bernard Langer.
When you look at his resume, it's no surprise he's in the World Golf Hall of Fame, which seemed unlikely at the start of his career. So when did you join the European Tour?
It was 1976. I just won a tournament, the National Closed Championship, only for German passport holders. Won 6,000 Deutschmarks, which was enough for a brand new Ford Escort.
Yeah.
That was my first new car. Drove all the way to Portugal, which is like over 1,000 miles. And that was my first tournament, the Portuguese Open, in the early season of 1976. Developed the yips right away, you know, coming from Germany where the greens were like this long, running about 6 on the stump.
Yeah.
And down there was like 11 or 12. Fortunate, the third tournament I competed in was the Madrid Open. I finished tight 5th and had a sense that I belong.
Right.
And I felt I could compete with these guys. I just got to get my putting and my chipping a little bit improvement there, and I could be one of the best. So that was a great encouragement.
You won 42 times in Europe alone. Is there a win that stands out for you?
My first international win was the World Under 25 Championship.
The Cacharel.
I was 21, I think, at the time, and I won by 17 shots, which is
by just 17.
Mind-blowing. Then the following year, in 1980, I win my first official European Tour event, the Dunlop Masters in Wales. That gave me a bunch of confidence. Then, you know, winning the first German Open is huge for a German.
Yes.
It's like you winning the Irish Open.
Oh, absolutely.
There's not much bigger than that. Yeah, the Masters, obviously, but... Or my first German Masters, which I created together with IMG. When I won the US Masters, we said, why don't we have a German Masters? And asked some of my sponsors, they all went in with me, and we had a new tournament. And when I won that in front of my home crowd, it meant a great deal.
What are your memories of playing against me? And, you know, I'm extremely sensitive to criticism.
Of course you would be. I would be too. As far as I remember, we didn't play a whole lot.
No.
But I've always enjoyed competing with you.
Yeah.
You were just a fun guy to be spending 4 hours with. Seriously, you were a very, very, very good player. You were one of the top players. You were on the Ryder Cup team at least once, and you should have been twice, if I remember correctly. So
I think you enjoyed it because I wasn't much of a threat.
Not really. No. The only threat I was to myself, I think.
When the official world rankings first came out, do you recall who was number one?
Of course I do.
Yeah. Do you recall who the next four were?
I actually don't. I could take a wild guess, but I really don't.
Have a guess.
I would say Greg Norman.
Yes.
Couples.
Nope.
Faldo.
Nope.
Oh, well.
Wait. Ballesteros, Lyle, Watson, O'Meara, and Norman.
Well,
pretty good company.
Very good company, yeah.
I bet you don't know which song was number one that week.
Absolutely, I do.
You do?
Rock Me Amadeus. It's a German group. The only German group that ever made it to the top.
Very
in the music
good.
World.
Second win of the year, 11th on home soil, his fourth win to German Masters.
Well, you had a couple of fantastic streaks on the European Tour. You won every year for 16 straight years, and you made 68 straight cuts. Which do you think is the most impressive of those two?
Maybe even making the cuts in a row is probably harder than winning once a year.
Well, I would 68
think.
Times.
Yeah.
You got to play with some of the great players of the modern era, really. You know, one of them was Ballesteros, of course.
We had a great rivalry going for a number of years. He would beat me in the world match play just about every time. He was the best match player, period, that I've ever ran into. One time we were playing the European Open, I think it was at Sunningdale. I'm on the putting green. Seve walks over to me and says, "Let me see what you're putting with." And I handed him my putter and he hits three putts, gives me the putter and walks away. I go, "Well, Seve, hold on a second. What's wrong with my putter?" I could tell he didn't like it, you know. In my opinion, it's too light and it doesn't have enough loft. So I'm thinking, and then he walked away, and I was going, wow, if he says that, I'll better get another putter. Straight into the pro shop at Sunningdale, rummaging around all the new putters, and nothing that struck me till I couldn't find anything. So I went to the assistant pro behind the desk, said, "Is there any other putters that you might have?" And he goes, "Well, actually, there is this a bag load of clubs over there. An old lady gave them to us. She retired. She can't play anymore. Wandered over there, and sure enough, there was a similar product that I had, a bullseye with a flange. It was heavier, had a little more loft, exactly what I was looking for. So I hit a few putts, and sure enough, ball rolled nicely, felt good, the grip was nice. So I came back and said, "I want to buy this putter. How much is it?" He goes, "Oh, that's that used putter from that lady. You can have it for £5. So that's the best investment I ever probably made in my life, because I finished third that tournament, second the next week, and then I won my first tournament. So, Seve, thank you very much for a wonderful tip."
Seve not only gave advice to his competitors, he also led by example. He was the first of five players, all born within a period of 11 months, who forever changed the course of European golf. Seve Ballesteros, Nick Faldo, Ian Woosnam, Sandy Lyle, and Bernard Langer.
To become both the youngest winner of the Masters and the first from Europe.
Before them, no European had ever won the Masters. Yet all of them slipped on at least one green jacket, and three of them won multiple times. Perhaps more importantly, they transformed the Ryder Cup from an American golf exhibition into one of the greatest sporting events in the world. In the U.S., we had the big three, a Palmer player, Nicklaus, but there was the famous five in Europe. What was it that made this group so successful, you think?
Well, I think it actually helped us to have that competition, because we helped each other to different heights. I vividly remember Seve winning majors, and yet I played against Seve on a weekly basis in Europe, and there were many times when I beat him, but obviously beat me too. But at some point I figured, well, if I can beat him in the Italian Open or the German Open, why shouldn't I be winning majors?
Yeah.
So it gave me a bit of confidence. And I think it made us work harder at it, just having that competition, knowing on any given week there's three or four other guys that are really, really good. And I think it was very beneficial for us as individuals to become better, but also, you know, for the Ryder Cup team,
or for
European golf in general, because we came from different parts of Europe, and it helped the growth of the game over there.
Well, there's trophies all over the house. Is this special, your office?
There's a few trophies and memories. This was the actual driver I used in 93. I was probably the last guy to win with a Persimmon driver at the Masters. A friend of mine gave me that one. Seve won the German Open with this one.
I want Frankfurt,
a very tight course. So he wasn't always crooked off the tee. This would be my actual golf bag, the clubs I'm playing with. Got a ping driver, I got a TaylorMade 3-wood here, hybrids from Adams, ping 4-iron, artisan 5 and 9 iron.
This is what you would use if you weren't being paid, and you're not.
That's what I'm using, yes, yeah, week after week.
So why wouldn't somebody copy this and sell them as the Bernard Langer set?
Well, maybe there's an idea.
Anybody watching this program?
You want to go to business together, you and me?
Not a bad idea. When Jack Nicklaus won his sixth green jacket in 1986, the man who slipped it on the shoulders that carried the game of golf for so long was the defending champion, Bernhard Langer. It was a scene that would have been impossible to imagine when the two first played together. At the time, Bernhard was a 16-year-old assistant pro in Munich, and Jack was, well, he was Jack. How does a 16-year-old from Germany end up playing with Jack Nicklaus?
Yeah, that was a really surprise to me. I was assistant pro at Munich Country Club, and they had arranged for Jack Nicklaus to come to Germany for an exhibition match. So they invited two of the best amateurs that we had, and myself, a 16-year-old. I'm going, wow.
That must have been terrifying.
So the media that was there was a big deal. I mean, Jack,
yeah, you know,
they hadn't seen him in Germany ever before, I think, and he hit it so far and so high. He's cutting corners. It was fascinating for a 16-year-old to watch. So the media asked him afterwards, you know, what do you think of your three playing partners? And Jack goes, well, the two amateurs were pretty impressive. They have good techniques and they can go a long way. And then finally someone asked, well, what about the young pro? He says, well, he's got a lot of heart.
All right.
I guess it's a compliment, right?
Yeah.
It may have been faint praise, but Jack was right. Bernard did play with a lot of heart. And it was on full display when he was competing in his third Masters, wearing the outfit that earned him the nickname the Red Baron.
Bernhard Langer, tied for second, tees off at 12.
He made a furious charge on the back nine, coming from four back to win the tournament.
Great to play here, and I look forward to coming back here for the rest of my life as long as I can walk. Thank you.
85 was your third Masters, and you head into Sunday tied for third with Seve, a shot behind Curtis Strange and two back from Ray Floyd. That's sort of formidable competition. How do you feel going into that?
Obviously, I knew there was very tough competition, and I knew it wasn't going to be easy because those were not guys that would crumble under the pressure. So I knew I had to produce something spectacular to have any hope or any chance to win. And after the front nine, I thought I played pretty decent the front nine, but my deficit grew from 2 to 4. And I couldn't believe it. And so I'm walking to the 10th tee and I'm talking to myself and saying, you gotta go all out. Either win it or it doesn't matter. So I went for everything, was very fortunate, you know, was like 500 the next 7 or 8 holes. And by the time I made myself stand on the 18th tee, I had a 2-shot lead.
Walking up the 18th that day with a 2-shot lead, how'd that feel?
It felt phenomenal and was special was also, I was paired with Seve, who I was paired with when he won the 84 Open Championship at St. Andrews. And about 9 months later, I just birdied 17 to get a 2-shot lead. And he taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, well done, this is all yours. That was pretty meaningful.
And the next year you come back and you're tied with Seve again on the last day, only this time you're in second and shot off the lead. But it was kind of time for somebody else to make magic on that Sunday.
Maybe. Yes, sir!
The Golden Bear. He had a resurrection that day, I think, was his golf game. He wasn't playing that well going into it, but he put a phenomenal back nine together, and the roars were unreal. You know, it reminded me a little bit of the roars this year when Tiger did his comeback. And again, I was fortunate to be an eyewitness to both those and was able to put the green jacket on Jack, shake his hand and congratulate him and his family for his amazing achievement. Six green jackets.
The return to glory.
And then this year with Tiger's comeback, it reminded me of Jack a little bit, how emotional Tiger got, how much it meant to him. Again, I was there to witness it and to shake his hand and wish him all the best.
As a 16-year-old playing with Jack Nicklaus, did you ever imagine that one day you'd be putting the green jacket on?
No chance. No chance. I didn't even imagine ever playing in the Masters.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's a small world sometimes.
Not only did he make it to Butler Cabin in 1985, but he booked a return visit 8 years later. This time the roles were reversed as he entered the final round four shots in front and held off challengers like Chip Beck.
The Masters title was Bernhard Langer's for the taking.
In 93, you've got a four-shot lead, teeing off on Sunday, but I mean, your mindset is just, it's aggressive all of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, I was asked by the media the night before, you know, how are you going to play tomorrow? You got a four-shot lead, and I'm going, yeah, you know, the best way that I've learned to play is just the same game plan that got you there. You just continue, because if you slow down, somebody will pass you. And it got very tight.
Tell me about 13. What happened there?
And on that particular Sunday in 93, I hit a perfect drive around the corner, had to hook it a bit, and I was paired with Chip Beck, who was two shots behind at the time, I think. And he was first to hit into the green, hit a magnificent forward. Pin was front right, and he hit it to about 20 feet. So he's got an eagle putt, and I got a two-shot lead. So it could be gone in one hole. So I'm there now with a 3-iron off a side hill, downhill lie, and I probably hit one of the best 3-irons I've ever hit in my life. Hit it solid. And I ended up about 3 feet closer than Chip Beck on the same line. So I got to see his putt, and it broke a little this way. Mm-hmm. He missed, and I made. I gained a stroke on him instead of possibly losing one or two.
How was the walk up 18 different in 93?
The patrons there really know their golf, and they appreciated the golf I played that week. I came up with a four-shot lead. There was no pressure anymore. I could really enjoy the walk up there. You know, in 85, I still had to protect my lead or make par or something that wouldn't mess it up. So this time it was pure enjoyment. I had a smile on my face and just loved every minute of it.
More Faherty will continue after a few words from our sponsor. Faherty is brought to you by Farmers Insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
All right then, now back to the show.
Okay, Bernhard, we got rapid fire. Somebody start a clock. Action movie or chick flick?
Action movie.
Favorite place to ski?
Probably the Dolomites.
Oh, in Italy?
Mm-hmm.
All-time favorite athlete?
Used to be Bjorn Borg. Roger Federer now, I think.
Mm. Oh, tennis. American beer or German?
Well, come on.
Come on, yeah, really. If your life was turned into a movie, who would play you?
Not Schwarzenegger.
Not Arnold?
I don't know.
No. St. Andrews or Pebble Beach?
Ooh, they're both some of my favorites. Why do I have to pick one?
You don't.
Thank you.
Formula One or NASCAR?
Formula One for me.
Which is your favorite of the 100-something trophies in your house?
It's got to be the two Masters trophies.
Yeah. Third, maybe the Ryder Cup trophy?
It's kind maybe of the Ryder Cup, but you know the father-son belts are very close up there. On a, not as important, but very meaningful.
Well, time's up, and as always, you win nothing.
Thank you.
Longer in his 10th Ryder Cup, the oldest European player at age 45.
Bernhard played in 10 Ryder Cups and wound up spraying champagne after 6 of them.
Longer perhaps walking to victory.
His run began at a time when Europe was the punchline to American domination.
Beautiful shot there.
The United States.
States wins the Ryder Cup.
And continued until the battles were legendary.
I'm going to be captain probably one time and that's it, and I'd rather win than lose.
Then he captained the most lopsided victory Europe ever had.
This to win the Ryder Cup.
Once again, Europe has beaten the United States.
I've never seen Bernhard Langer so happy, I don't think.
How different was it being captain? Was it frustrating at all, not being part of it?
It was weird. Being at a golf tournament of that magnitude and not hitting one shot. I never hit a shot all week. But I felt like I was constantly there for, you know, providing for the guys and trying to have some strategy with my pairings and talking to the players, trying to keep them happy when they're not playing. You know, that's the one of the hardest things. You have 12 guys and only 8 play on any given morning or afternoon. And I had to make sure there's no misunderstanding, that we're all there for one cause, to win the cup.
Bernhard Langer on 18 with his fourth shot on the par 5 hole, and he just decided to close it out the direct way. That was it, defeating Gil Morgan.
1983, you were amazing that year. You scored 4 points, but the Europeans lost by a single point. What was the mood in the locker room like after that?
You know, we were slightly down because we came so close and still lost after all these years of losing, one after another after another. But there was a sense in the locker room that we can beat the Americans. We were, you know, 1 point. Everybody in this room believed that we can win the Ryder Cup, and then somewhere down in the near future. And sure enough, 2 years later at the Belfry, we won the first time in a long time.
Yeah, I remember Sam on the roof, swinging champagne all over everybody.
That's Sam, yeah.
Europe kept the cup 3 straight times then, but in 91, I joined the team and I helped us lose that one. Yeah. But for you, it was pretty amazing.
It was a very memorable one in many ways. It was the headlines were the war on the shores.
Yeah.
And it got a bit contentious there
it sure
at times. But I remember vividly, obviously, being in the last group on Sunday, and I was paired against Hale Irwin, and I had to win my point. So I'm 2 down with 4 holes to go, and I had to win 3 of the last 4 to have any hope. So I managed to win 2 of the next 3. So we're standing on the 18th tee. He hits the snap hook off the tee.
Oh, this ball's way left.
I think he hit somebody because it looked like he should have been over there, but it ended up sort of over here in the semi-rough, not in the sand dunes.
There was always a little question about that.
I don't know what happened exactly, but anyways, he couldn't reach the green with a 3-wood, and then he hit a bad chip, and he basically made a 5. So now I'm facing the 6-footer. If I make it, we tie the match, we win the cup.
Let me just interject that point. I am with the rest of the European team jammed together. There are 30,000 people there. For me, it was the most pressure that anyone had ever had, I think, over a 6-footer.
I don't know about that, but I was literally praying, you know, give me a quiet hand. Let me read this and make a good stroke. Let me just make it and be the hero of the Ryder Cup. You know, that's the childhood dreams we have. That's what we practice for. The issue was I read the putt left edge, and so did Peter Coleman, my caddy, and on that line there were 2 spike marks about this tall. It was late in the afternoon on a sunny, windy day. You know, they were crusty, not soft. We decided let's just putt it straight, and it actually felt like a good stroke. I've made a lot of bad strokes. I know what a bad stroke feels like when I yip it. That one didn't feel bad. But as I looked up, it was breaking and slid over the right edge, and I call it all hell broke loose in a positive sense for the American. Obviously, they celebrated and cheered their team, and I felt horrible. Felt like I let the team down.
I can tell you, as a member of that team, there was no one else that wanted to hit that putt.
Well, I wish Seve might have hit it or somebody.
There was no
one else. Azabal, you know, better putters than me.
What Bernhard has done on the PGA Tour Champions is simply amazing. He's dominated the circuit for more than a decade.
There is no stopping Bernhard Langer.
And along the way has been named Player of the Year 8 times.
Bernhard Langer does it again.
And finished atop the money list 10.
First and only player to win all 5 senior majors.
Bernhard Langer to make it official. He is the Charles Schwab Cup champion.
Bernhard Langer again, winner of the year-long Charles Schwab Cup points race.
He's won 5 Charles Schwab Cups.
His 11th PGA Tour Champions major, his 40th win.
and is making a serious run at Hale Irwin's record 45 tournament victories.
You're now in a 13-year stretch now in the PGA Tour Champions. Are you looking at Hale Irwin's record, 45 wins maybe?
You know, I was never really looking at that, but people remind me almost every week when I talk to the media, oh, you're only six away now, can you do it? And I say, well, years ago I said it's very unlikely that anybody will ever do that, but now as I'm sneaking up closer and closer, it's still unlikely, but it's possible.
Maybe.
I mean, I just look back the last 2 years. I've lost several playoffs. I finished second a number of occasions. I could have won some of those, and I'll be right there. I still feel I have a few good years left in me if I stay healthy. Hopefully we get close to it or surpass him, but it's amazing what he's done.
Yeah.
What a career Hale Irwin has had.
It really is. But you hold the record for the most senior majors. Is there one that stands out?
Well, they're all special again, but maybe the last one that was missing in the puzzle, the senior PGA, was a very special one. And the senior US Open, because not just for the titles they represent, but who I played against.
From Seattle, Washington, Fred Couples.
The senior US Open was in Seattle, paired in the last group with Fred Couples, who was born in Seattle.
Right.
That felt like a Ryder Cup match right there. 99.9% of the people watching were for Fred and against me.
Yeah, of course.
And I pulled that off.
What's the main difference? I mean, you're playing against the same guys that you always played against.
Well, it's 3 days mostly, even though we have like six tournaments that are 4 day events. So that's a nice change. You get to go home Sunday night for a day or two if you want to. There's no cut most of the time. So that's really a benefit. You can plan your travel and you don't have to change flights constantly. Missing cuts was never any fun,
no matter
where. And
I remember it well.
But the camaraderie is really what makes it special. Just the friendships that we've had now for often 30 years, sometimes more, competing against each other, but also becoming friends with the family, with the kids, even the grandkids.
Do you feel like you're hitting the ball as well as you ever have?
Yeah, there were times the last 10 years where I felt I'm a better, more complete player than I ever was before. But also just knowing what works for me and what not. I don't play more than two or three in a row anymore. I remember on the regular tour, I once played 11 in a row. So I don't do that anymore. I know what's good for me, what's not. So I take breaks away from the game. I don't practice every day when I come home. I just put the clubs away for a few days. And when I feel, well, maybe you should go out there for a couple hours and do something, then I'll go out.
Older and wiser, maybe?
Hopefully. Definitely older. I'm not sure about the wiser.
If you could have taken a mulligan anywhere in your life, where would it be? Would there be
several?
Any?
Could I have more than one? But
you can have a couple.
Yeah, if I could have a couple, it would be that 6 foot putt at Kiowa.
Oh yeah.
And then it would be about a 4 foot putt at Royal St. George's in 1985. I was in the last group with David Graham. We were 2 shots ahead of the rest of the field, and I missed about a 4 footer on the first hole, and it shook me up so bad that I never quite recovered.
Yeah.
Sandy Lyle ended up winning.
I remember.
Mulligans in Life are presented by Farmers Insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two. Bernard is an incredibly dedicated family man. He's been married to Vicky for 35 years, and together they've raised 4 kids. Jackie, Jason, Christina, and Stefan. All of whom have taken turns caddying for him, as well as partnering with him for the father-son. They've been a steadying force for Bernard on the course and in life, as has been his faith.
In 1985, you win the Masters on Sunday, the 11th of April, and then you win at Hilton Head the week after, but it was the Tuesday in between that was really important. Explain that to me.
Yeah, I won the Masters and drove to Hilton Head. The thing is, I felt a real emptiness after winning my first major, and I couldn't explain it. I should have been extremely happy. You know, I was a young man, freshly married to my new wife. I had everything going. I was healthy, I was famous, I had money, I had cars, houses, So I couldn't pinpoint it. Anyways, I played a practice round that Hilton had with Bobby Clampett. At the end of that, he says, Bernhard, why don't you join us for the Bible study tomorrow night? So I said, well, thanks for the invite. Let me talk to Vicky, my wife, and well, we might come. So I didn't commit, but so I shared it with Vicky, and she grew up in a similar circumstance as me and upbringing. So anyways, we decided to go.
And there's a verse here. If you don't know it, every guy on tour that I've worked with has memorized it.
Larry Moody, who was the chaplain at the time on the tour, still is. He shared a story of the book of the Apostle John in John 3:3. Nicodemus, a religious Jewish leader, came to Jesus at night and wanted to talk to him because he could tell there was something special about Jesus. And Jesus told him, you have to be born again to go to heaven. And what Jesus was really talking about is we're all going to be born once in the flesh, coming out of the wombs of our mothers. But not all of us will be born spiritually again. That's what born again means, spiritually. Once I heard that lesson explained what it means to be spiritually born again, I bought my own Bible. I started reading, going back to Bible studies the following Wednesdays on tour. And within about 3 months, it was very clear to me that I need to have a personal relationship with Jesus.
Did it fill that emptiness?
It did. So as soon as I said that prayer that, you know, Lord, I understand you made me and I want to have you in my life. And when I said that prayer, that void was gone from that very minute, and it hasn't returned since 85. So what's that? 35 years now.
35 years. You must be doing something right.
Well, it was the best decision I ever made in my life. So I'm grateful for Bobby Clampett.
What does fatherhood mean to you?
It's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing, a responsibility, and a lot of hard work.
I know you played in the father-son with all of them, including Jackie.
Yeah, Jackie had to wait the longest, even though she's the oldest. But her golf wasn't quite the best of the kids. So it started off with Stefan, the second one, who was an accomplished golfer even in his teens. Mm-hmm. So he was 12 when he first played.
That'll seal the deal. Birdie for the Longers, and they become the youngest winners of the Father-Son Challenge.
But they're all unique and they're all different, as we sometimes wonder, can they be from the same parents? Yeah, you know, as different as they are. The good thing is that most of them look like my wife, so that's a great blessing.
Golf's a funny game. Tell me a funny story.
Well, there's lots of them, but I can think of the Tour Championship. It was played in Houston, Texas. I was in the last group on Sunday, we're announced on the first tee, and the announcer goes, and from Munich, Germany, Lernhard Banger. And I just cracked up. I had to walk away, and there was a little grandstands of about 80 people, and they all laughed, and it was live on ESPN. So.
That's brilliant.
Funny moment.
One of the shots you're most famous for was actually out of an oak tree.
Yes.
Like way up an oak tree at the Benson Hedge in Fulford in York.
Well, first of all, it's the 17th hole. I had a good drive, and I think it was a 9-iron into the green. And there's the green here, and this oak tree is only about 15 feet to the left or 20 feet left of the green. So I pulled my 9-iron into the middle of this oak tree and hear it clatter around a couple of times. And then I hear all the people laughing under there. They're all looking up there. I'm going, what's so funny about that? You know, I just hit the tree. And I walk up there, and sure enough, the ball was stuck up there about 18 feet off the ground. But it was in a little indentation on this big branch. So I'm debating, you know, if I take a penalty, I can drop it right here with a penalty shot, go back, hit it where I was, or I could try and climb up and get it onto the green, which was only 30 feet away. So I decided to try and get up there and made it up there with a bit of help from some spectators, took my 3-iron, as they would say, and chipped it onto the green. But I was, you know, from pulling myself up and letting myself down, I was literally almost shaking. So when I had that putter, I had no feeling.
She
missed the par putt, but I made a bogey anyways.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Bernhard Langer.
What does it mean to you to be in the Hall of Fame?
It's a wonderful title. It means a lot to be recognized by the golfing world that you had an amazing career. And it's a unique circle of people that have just achieved maybe more than most of the golfers have.
I'm going to quote the great historian and fellow countryman of yours, Hans Gruber. Yeah. He said, when Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept for there were no more worlds to conquer. What is it that motivates you to keep on conquering?
Motivation was never a problem for me.
No.
It's probably my upbringing. Whenever I do something, I want to do it to the best of my knowledge, to the best I can. I was taught give 100% whatever it is. You know, if I clean my shoes, I'm going to give it 100%. If I do this, I'm going to do the best job I can. And as long as I play professional golf, I'm going to try as hard as I can most of the time. If I don't, it's time to quit and stay home.
Fair enough. What is it that people have a misconception about Bernard Langer?
Sometimes I hear like, oh, this is a stoic German or this or that. And that's not me, really.
No, it's not.
I have a great sense of humor. I love to laugh and have fun. Obviously, when I'm on the golf course and they only see me on the golf course, when I'm often too focused.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, they see the lighter side, hopefully.
Well, I hope they've seen the lighter side today. It's nice for them to see you off the golf course and me too, my old friend.
Thank you. Good seeing you again, David.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Bernard Langer has built his life the same way his father built their house, with careful attention to detail, one brick at a time. It's brought him great success on the course and even more off it. And I'm fortunate to be able to call him my friend. Thanks for joining me, Fegherty fans. You can find more of the Fegherty podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Fegherty.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Art19 or Google Play. Search Fegherty and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends.